Do you have complete standard operating procedures in your brewery? And if not, why not? G'day, brewers. Welcome to the Quality Focus Pro Brewers podcast. My name is Hendo, and I am a pro brewer coach from the Rockstar Brewer Academy. And today, going to talk about something that is the bane of every brewery's existence, and that is standard operating procedures. It's the ultimate nightmare for any person who is the head brewer or someone who's running a brewery, even a brewery owner and that sort of thing, trying to get all of the SOPs all lined up and ready to go. But first, I just want to say, g'day, Adzi. How you going, mate?
I'm doing well, mate. I'm feeling pretty rough. I had Super Bowl yesterday and the team I was supporting got up and won. So yeah, we had a day out on the town because here in Australia, the Super Bowl's on at 9:30 in the morning. So it was a long day celebrating.
Day drinking on a Monday.
Yeah.
For the Super Bowl.
It was brilliant. Yeah.
Awesome, mate. Hey, let's talk about standard operating procedures today, mate, I think, because that's something that often speak to a lot of brewers about, right, is that every brewer and head brewer knows that you need good SOPs in your brewery for a number of reasons, for safety and for quality and all that sort of thing, but they can be an absolute nightmare to implement. And I think that what's needed in order to help you, the brewer listening, to achieve an outcome where you're going to have standard operating procedures in your brewery, it needs a little bit of a mind shift set, I think. And that's what I want to talk about today.
Oh, mate, as someone who used to write user guides for a living for software, SOPs are pretty much that, right? You've got to break down all your stuff into little chunks and find what's relevant. But mate, and the whole sort of game around writing SOPs is it's not easy. It's not fun. You've just got to start. So what do you think are the biggest challenges for brewers? Is it because they're not technology minded or it's just boring or there's not enough time? Like, is it all of these?
Well, there's a lot of things to unpack there with regards to SOPs, right? So firstly, as I said before, everybody knows you need them, right? But what usually happens is the SOP project in a brewery kind of becomes this big monolithic task, right? That seems like this big mountain that's just insurmountable. Because when you think about the typical brewery operation, there's so many SOPs that need to be written, okay? And so you can get caught in this analysis paralysis kind of thing where you don't even know where you should be starting with regards to writing SOPs. Another decision that needs to be made is who writes the SOP. So if you are a solo brewer, solo operator, that question is very simple to answer. But if you're running a team of brewers, then you got to ask yourself, well, okay, I as the head brewer can't write all the SOPs because I've got an operation to run. So therefore, who writes the SOPs, right?
Yep.
And then once you get to the point, let's say that in an ideal world, Adzi, you get to the point where you've got all of your SOPs written, right? Then the next challenge that you're going to face is, well, how do I make sure that my team can access those SOPs quickly, easily, and effectively so that they can all be followed, right?
Yep.
And the biggest mistake in around SOP projects that I see is treating the SOP project as just that, a project, as if like, okay,
once it's done,
we'll do this project, we'll write all the SOPs. And when it's done, it's like, yep, pack it up, boys, we're done. We don't need to worry about it. And treating it as if it's a one-off job. And quite simply, it's just not.
Yeah. No, it's a living document. And it needs review, like, because it's there for a reason. And if it steps through a guideline, and it might be well and good in your head, like we've talked about this before, like the brewer knows what he's doing, recording all sorts of stuff, right? But if you go through your SOP, like if someone walked in and went through it, are all the steps there? Are all the information there for them to do that part of that job following that SOP?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like when you start out, a typical brewer who starts out as a solo brewer, right? They basically have in their own mind their way of making their beer. And it's important that your beer gets made your way, right? But as your production volume grows, and as the number of team members grows, even if it's just you and an assistant, right? You're suddenly dealing with all of these complexities around, okay, so I've hired this assistant brewer. This assistant brewer doesn't have the same skill set or experience as me. How do I make sure that I get my beer made my way, right?
Yep.
Because ultimately what happens is, in the absence of not having SOPs and not being able to transfer that knowledge of how to do jobs in a brewery, right? First up, you're going to have an unsafe brewery. Right?
Yeah.
That's hugely, hugely important, right? And I love I'm a nut for safety in a brewery, more so than water chemistry. And so you've got to clearly communicate how jobs need to be done in the brewery in order to A, stay safe, and B, making sure that your beer is brewed consistently each and every time that you brew it, right? And so the challenge is that once you start to go down the path of having multiple staff in a brewery, if everybody is doing the same job in a different way, it's impossible to be safe, and it's impossible to be consistent in your beer output and your beer quality outcomes. It's huge.
Yeah. Well, you're right. Because if someone's just going off on their own doing something in a different way, but that's also why it can be a living document. Like, that discussion needs to be around, well, when do we update this SOP? Like, has someone come up with a more efficient way of doing something that improves the process? Or is someone, it's something to go back to. Like, if someone gets hurt or has an accident as well, you can go back and go, well, hang on a minute. We didn't think about this when we wrote that. So we need to add this in.
Yeah, absolutely. But unfortunately, the reality of that is, even before you get to the point where you're having a conversation is about how do we update our SOPs, it's actually getting a baseline library of SOPs written in the first place. Because I would ask you, the listener listening to this now, is do you have complete standard operating procedures in your brewery? And if not, why not? Right? Because chances are your brewery is going to fall into the categories of either they're going to be inadequate, right, and partially done, and not every job in the brewery is covered by a standard operating procedure. They're going to be poorly written, or they're not going to exist at all.
Mm.
Right. It's one thing to, let's say I'm a head brewer of a new brewery. I've just hired an assistant brewer, and I'm going to show this person, for example, how to clean a tank, right? That's actually the worst way in which you can transfer knowledge, right? There's a brewery, and I'll give you an example of that, right? There's a brewery that we're both familiar with that I won't name, but it's a brewery that grew really rapidly and had a team, went from one or two or half a dozen brewers and grew out quite rapidly to about 25 to 30 shift brewers, right? Big, big production facility, millions of liters per year. No standard operating procedures. And the way that knowledge was transferred in this brewery was, I'll show you how to do this job, and therefore the knowledge is transferred. What's the name of the guy? I don't want to say the name of it. What's the name of the guy? You whisper in someone's ear, and then that person whispers it to the next person. What do they call it? It's called telegraph, I think that people call it.
Yep.
Telegraph, right? And so basically, if you are transferring knowledge in your brewery by playing the game of telegraph, eventually what's going to happen is the way in which you do things in your brewery is going to skew off onto a tangent, right? Not only is it going to skew off on a tangent, but everybody's going to be doing things in different ways. And this particular brewery that I'm thinking of at the moment actually went down that path, right? And I'd heard stories of, like, cleaning, doing a CIP of a tank became connecting a CIP of a tank to the centrifuge, to the work line, and trying to do it all at once because that was more efficient.
Yeah.
But what ended up happening was it turned the brewery into basically a snake pit, which was not very, and caustic running all over the place and no one knowing where the caustic was going, and a very, very real risk of chemical contamination into product. Right.
Yeah.
And so you need to understand that there will be a point in your brewery's history where standard operating procedures become a requirement.
Yep. Right?
Because if you don't have them and you have a safety incident and you get OSHA or WorkSafe or whatever they're called in your country, come and visit your brewery in the wash-up of a major workplace incident, the first thing they're going to ask you for is where are your, they'll call them safe operating procedures, but we call them standard operating procedures. It's the same thing. Where are your standard operating procedures? Was this person trained and did they follow them?
Yep.
Right. And that's the real risk, right? So when it comes down to your standard operating procedures, who do you think should write them? What do you think, Adzi?
Well, I guess it's the head brewer.
Not necessarily, because if you think about the big brewery, and I'm pretty sure you know which brewery I'm talking about,
yes.
Right? Is that head brewer actually on the floor on a day-to-day basis doing that job?
So if you're a single brewer, that's what you need to do. And that's what makes it worthwhile.
Because the thing is, right, is that there's a really good video on YouTube. I don't know if you've seen it, Adzi, and I'll link to this video, this YouTube video in the show notes. And basically, it was about 8 or 9 year old video on YouTube. And they actually, it's a dad and his two kids, and he's written instructions on how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I have seen this video. It's excellent.
And he gets his kids to write an SOP on how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And then he just goes and follows it like straight up. It's hilarious, right? Do go watch it, right? And so this is the thing, right? Is that yes, the person who does the job should be the person who writes the SOP, but then you're going to need someone who's going to need to validate it, that sort of thing.
Right? Yep.
Once the SOP is written, right, this is not a one-on-one, it's not a one-on-one job. It's not like, oh, I've written SOPs, thanks boys, we're going home now, right? As you said, standard operating procedures are a living document, right? And they serve a purpose beyond just being written, right? If you're approaching your SOP project as in terms of just writing the SOPs, that is only part of the picture, right?
Yep.
The first part is writing them. The second part is validating them to make sure that they actually are fit for purpose and actually do achieve the outcome and are safe and that sort of thing. Then once you've got a point where your SOP is validated, then they need to be accessible so that when new staff need to be trained, that they are able to get access to the information, absorb it, and follow it and be trained up, and then they can sign off on it, right? And then lastly, the thing that needs to happen is that they need to be reviewed, right? Yeah. Because they are a living document, right? Because things change in breweries all the time. Some raw materials might change. You might move from dry hops to some sort of hop liquid extract thing that you're dry hopping with, and therefore your procedures around dry hopping are going to change. You might install a new piece of equipment in your brewery. Very, very common for that to happen. And as a result, you might go from cleaning a tank with a single pump to installing a CIP car in your brewery. And therefore, the procedures around CIP are going to dramatically change. People change, right? Yeah. You know, you have staff turnover is pretty natural, and those sorts of things change. And as a result, right, your SOPs definitely become a living document. So taking that in mind, right, it's really important that when you write SOPs that you have some version control around it, right? So that you can track how they used to be versus what they are now versus what they're going to be in the future, right? And then making sure that that is accessible by all the staff.
Yep. Have you got like some sort of structure or principles about what should be around implementing SOPs?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So we've got a structure at the Rockstar Borough Academy. There's a couple of things we do at the Rockstar Borough Academy that fast track getting SOPs written and maintained in your brewery. The first thing we do is that is we break down, right? It can just be this analysis paralysis of thinking about all these SOPs that you've got to write. Let's just break down the big job into smaller and more manageable chunks.
Right.
So first thing you need to do, and this is really, really easy, is just group the areas in your brewery where the SOPs are required. Right. And so basically there's five areas in a brewery where SOPs are needed. You've got administrative tasks. So that's things like raw materials in, finished goods out, all your financials, all your record keeping, whether you're using a brewery management system and how that works and or how that should work and that sort of thing, right? That's admin. The second one is brew house operations. So anything that revolves around work production and CIP of your brew house and stuff like that, brew house operations, right? You're not going to have a single SOP on how to run a brew day in your brewery. It's too big. It's a big day. But having brew house operations as a group means that you can break that down into smaller chunks like milling, mashing, laudering, boiling, knockout, etc. Right. Then you've got all of your cellar operations, right? So cellar operations is things like cleaning fermenters, cleaning bright tanks, how to transfer beer, how to run the centrifuge, how to carbonate beer, all that sort of stuff, dry hopping, everything like that is in your cellar operations.
Yep.
The fourth part is your packaging operations. So everything that's revolves around CIP, SRP, or packaging equipment, kegging, canning, bottling, anything that revolves around those things, packaging operations. And then the last area is quality and lab. So for example, that's things like, what's the procedure for using the density meter? What's the procedure for using the pH meter, right? The things around gathering information, okay? How to use your ZARM, how to use your C-box, all that sort of stuff, that all comes under the banner of quality and lab, right? So just to recap, administrative tasks, brew house operations, cellar operations, packaging operations, and your quality and lab, right? Once you get that, once you group that, right, it becomes really easy to break that down. And before you even like start to write any SOPs, make a list of the SOPs you need.
Yeah.
And then you can break things down even further. It's a great place to start.
Yeah. Your level of detail, because you don't want to do too much because then it just becomes a novel, but you also need to have it at a certain amount of detail in there as well. Right. It's like, when I used to write user guides, you've got to almost write them like you're writing for a preschooler because you've got to step them through every single process. Cause some people depends on your audience. Right. But as brewers, we're expected to have a certain level of experience and understand stuff. So you don't need to explain, oh, this is what a mill does and this is why we do it. Like, we're just writing how to mill.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Right. So structuring your SOPs and crafting your SOPs for the audience that they're intended is super important, right? An SOP can start as simple as a bunch of bullet points, right?
Yeah.
But then it can be broken down from there. Like for example, take as I said before, work production, brew day, right? One SOP is not going to cover that. Okay. No. It's too much, right? To determine whether something in your brewery requires an SOP, right? A little checklist for you is A, does more than one person do this job? Right. B, is there an identified workplace health and safety hazard? Or alternatively, there might be an identified food safety hazard, right? Or D, right, is there a potential impact to product quality? Okay, they're the things that sort of break down as to whether you need a standard operating procedure. Once you've identified that there's a need for writing a standard operating procedure, such as work production or brew day, right?
Yep.
It's you then got to break those big ones down into smaller manageable chunks. That's going to be milling, and then it's going to be mashing, and then it's going to be lauter and sparge, and then it's going to be boiling, right? And they become separate SOPs because they've got different requirements. They've got different safety concerns, right? You don't have a burn hazard when you're milling, for example. Yep. Right? And so that's something that has to be taken into consideration, right?
Yeah. If you're doing the milling, like you're not going to explain how to open a barley bag by trying to cut different tabs. You don't need to go into that little detail. It's you get your barley, put it in the mill, set your gap. Like all of these things that you've done already, that there's some level of expectation of experience needed. So
yeah, absolutely. So there's so there's kind of like two things to unpack there, Adzi, right? So basically there's the making the list of SOPs that you need. And then when you've identified the list of SOPs that you need, how much detail do you go into?
Right? Yeah.
And then from that, it's like, okay, we need to prioritize which ones get addressed first.
Yep. Right?
And so once you've made your list of SOPs that are required based on those five buckets of different types of SOPs in a brewery, right? In terms of the order in which they should be written, should be prioritized by firstly from those that address a particular safety hazard. And if you've done, and we'll talk about safety in another episode, but if you've done a risk analysis in your brewery and you've got some hazards with a very high safety rating, extreme and that sort of thing that need to be addressed as a priority, those should be the SOPs that you address first, right? Keep everybody safe, right? And at a minimum, right, those SOPs that address safety will cover your butt in the event of something going wrong, right?
Yeah.
And you've bitten off a big chunk there and that sort of thing, right? Then you do the SOPs that have a quality impact, and then you do all the other SOPs from there, right?
Yes.
Super simple. Now, when it comes to writing SOPs, right? Okay. So I kind of view SOPs in terms of like you've got the drone shot flying above the forest and going, you've seen those drone shots going above the trees and all that sort of stuff. And that's how I see like all of the high level things that are part of a job, right? And then you can drop the altitude of the drone down into the trees and into the weeds and actually get into the minutiae and the detail of what a particular job entails. And you're right, Adzi, there's a balance, right, between making your instructions in your standard operating procedures as simple and as communicative as possible versus getting into too much minutia, too much detail, and having the SOPs really difficult to write and also maintain and follow, right?
Yeah.
Now, you've been in this situation, right, when you were a student of mine at a technical college, right?
Yep.
What was your experience with those SOPs in that brewery? Because that's a very unique situation because it's a teaching brewery.
Right? Yeah, well, there weren't any, and we had to.
Weren't they?
I was going to say, well, they were, but we had to write a bunch of them as well.
Right. So it's before all the SOPs got written. Okay.
So a lot of our structure of our learning capacity was to write the SOPs for some of these steps were probably what you guys took to be the SOPs for subsequent courses because they were still being written as they went. We were heavily involved.
Correct. Okay. All right. Now I remember. Okay. That was the early days of the course. Oh my God, we're showing your age here, Adzi. Do you know how those SOPs turned out? Are you aware of how those SOPs finally in the teaching brewery ultimately turned out?
No. We just wrote them on Word documents.
You would have written things like, okay, so let's say you're doing the brew house CIP standard operating procedure, right?
Yep.
It would have been open the kettle bottom valve, open the pump inlet valve, open the brew house outlet valve, open this valve, and very, very rote sort of thing, which at the time when we were writing those standard operating procedures, that made sense, right? But that is those instructions were very much in the weeds, right? Not the drone shot at all, right? right? Whereas what we could have written was pump the caustic in the kettle using the work pump to the spray ball and create a CIP loop. Right? Yep. We could address that in one go, in a different way, in a more high level way. Okay. Now, here's a lesson learned from me, mate, is that we wrote those SOPs that you wrote that were very detailed and in the weeds and that sort of thing. What the experience that happened from that, we thought we were doing the right thing at the time, but the mistake that we made was that we made them too detailed and they could be followed one sentence at a time, right, which is fine. However, it was very hard for subsequent students to actually learn the job and do the job without the SOPs and actually build some experience.
Yep.
Right. So it was almost like every little job of moving a liquid from one place to another, from the moving the caustic from the kettle to the mash tun, had to be followed and was this really, really detailed checklist.
Yeah.
Whereas what probably would have sufficed is in the as a teaching crew, we've got our four steps for moving liquids, and we could have said, right, you know how that works. Now I want you to move that liquid from kettle to the mash tun.
Yep.
And that probably would have done the job better.
Yeah.
So what a lesson learned, mate.
But that's a classic case of why you go back and review these things and check out.
Absolutely.
What needs to be updated.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It doesn't, a lot of people learn and read and follow things in a different way as well. Because some things, if you try to write it down, you don't seem to always understand how much words it takes to write an explanation of some things. Whereas like an image or a diagram or a video or something like that is going to be much easier to do to transfer that knowledge, right?
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Different people have different ways of learning stuff, right? Some people are really good readers and can just absorb knowledge by reading like a sponge, right? Some people are more into the visual aspect, may need to be shown, right? And if that's the case, then perhaps something like a video of the person doing the job is a good way to write an SOP, okay? And then basically what can happen from there is you've got to cater it to your audience, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing is the person doing the job should write the SOP. And then the next decision that needs to be made is, okay, so how are we going to present that how are we going to transfer that knowledge from this person who's writing the SOP to somebody else, right? So using the right tools around your SOP is super important, right? You can have something as simple as a checklist, right? You can use pictures, right? Yeah. And you can annotate the pictures with arrows and all that sort of stuff. You can use videos, you can use diagrams and flow charts and stuff like that. Really common one we implement at the Rockstar Brewer Academy is what's called your wall of wisdom, right? Which you would know as the cold liquor tank of wisdom from the technical college, right? And that is an SOP and its purest and simplest form, because in four sheets of paper that get posted on the wall in your brewery or cold liquor tank, right, is you can say, right, here's all of our core range beers. Here are all the work and here are all the bright beer numbers for all of those beers. Here are all the chemicals that we use in this brewery, what they're used for and what their temperatures, times and concentrations are. Here are our standard brewery tolerances. So if you're making a pH reading, for instance, how much can you be plus or minus the target and still be considered to be on spec? And then what are all of your fermentation and maturation parameters? What yeast strain goes into this beer? What's the temperature? What's the time? What's the head pressure it should be? When does it get a diastole check? When does it get crash chilled? And all that sort of stuff, right? That wall of wisdom is a really good SOP, right?
Yep.
But then there's other, in terms of communicating the SOP to others, right? You got to think about, okay, so I've got an SOP. How am I going to communicate this to others? Wall of Wisdom, great tool, right? And when you join the Rockstar Brewer Academy, it's the one thing you're going to set up in your first 60 days, right? Yep. And it's just going to elevate your quality big time, right? But then you've got things like, if you're making a flow chart, you might use Visio or diagrams.net or something like that. Then there's these, there's a lot of modern tools out there that are wrapped around writing and communicating and training others on those SOPs. So you've got things like Dozuki, really common. Whale is a really good one. Trainual is an app that's for writing SOPs. And those tools can be really good because what they do is they put all of your SOPs in the one place. Let's compare that to old school stuff like having a bunch of Microsoft Word documents or Google Docs or Excel spreadsheets or something like that, right? And so things like Dozuki, Whale, Trainual, right? It basically allows you to put all of your SOPs into one place. It implements all of the version control. And then you go on and you have someone who writes the SOP, and then you go and send an invitation to a new staff member that they're required to come along and have a look at it, review it, and then click accept. I've read and understood this, right? Yep. And that helps to cover your butt in terms from the OH&S side of things, right? Whew, there's a lot to cover there, isn't there?
There's a lot of knowledge, right? There's not a lot of knowledge that you've got to share and explain. So that brings me back to another question. So you've got your library, you've got your SOP stuff, but if you're starting out, like brewers are doing a lot of the same stuff. Going to any brewery, they're still going to, they're going to mill, they've all got a CIP, they're all got a transfer word, all of these things. Is there a template? Is there, like, what's around for one of these brewers so they don't have to start from day dot? They just get some stuff. Okay, yeah, great.
Give you something better than a template. And I get asked a lot, Hendo, have you got an SOP template and that sort of thing? I give you something better than that. So what one of the member benefits of the Rockstar Brewer Academy is that we have an SOP swipe file library.
Okay? Yeah, right.
And so basically, instead of having to write SOPs from scratch, right, we have collected up a whole bunch of SOPs on different jobs that get done in the brewery over the years, and we pulled them all together, right? So if you've got an SOP for a particular job in a brewery, well, you can share that with the community.
Yep.
Okay. And if you need an SOP, right, well, you can go to the SOP swipe library and you can go and download it, right? Now, every brewery is different. I accept that,
yep.
Right? Every brewery is different, and it you will need to contextualize things to your particular brewery, right? But what that means is that instead of having to write the SOP from scratch, you're 80% of the way there, and you've only got the 20% of the job to go of writing that SOP, right? By just contextualizing it from that sort of generic or something that's particular to another brewery to yours, okay? That makes that job so much easier. It's a massive time saver. I'll save loads of time, save loads of money. It's a huge, huge win and that sort of thing. Plus there's the community aspect of it.
Yep.
We're all helping each other. And some SOPs don't need to be contextualized that much, right? So take your DMA 35 density meter. Almost every brewery's got one, or an easy dens at the very least, right?
Yep.
That's not going to change, right? So all you got to do is just take it, make some minor tweaks, whack your own logo on it, and it's done.
Right? Job done.
Then you can focus on the more important stuff. You know, the more important challenges, right, is that how am I going to effectively share this SOP with my staff, and how I'm going to validate it, how I'm going to make sure that everybody's being communicated, actually everybody does the job according to the SOP, right? And so that's what I really love about the Rockstar Brewer Academy SOP swipe library, is that it really is that rising tide lifts all boats,
yep,
kind of thing. And it's a lot of value that saves a load of time. Yes, we also have a template for creating SOPs, because our SOP library is always going to be incomplete. And so if you have a particular job in your brewery that's not covered by that and you do need to go and write it from scratch, yes, we've got a template. We've got two templates, actually. We've got one template, which basically, as I said before, you've got to make your list of SOPs that you're going, yep, to write. That's not really going to change from brewery to brewery, as from an 80-20 perspective, 80-20 rule perspective, OK? Okay. So we've got the list of SOPs that you need. Done.
Yep.
Right. Then we've got the SOP swipe file library. So if you know what SOPs you need, you can go and grab those and you can just contextualize them. Done.
Yeah. Right?
And then anything that's missing, then we've got an SOP template that is very easy to follow. It's got all the instructions in it on how to write drone shot, major headings in the weeds, minor headings, and action steps. And the SOP template that we've got follows a format, right? So for example, on the front page of the SOP, it says what job it does, what equipment you need, how many people are required to do the job, what are the hazards involved, what are the PPE that you need, are there any related SOPs? And so there's that standard format there, and then it dives into how the job gets done.
Yeah.
So you can really fast track that job.
Yeah.
Writing SOPs really, really quickly.
Yeah, that's excellent.
It's a pretty cool member benefit,
I reckon. Have you, and I'm sure that you have, I'm looking for a story here, where like what sort of example have you got where an SOP wasn't followed and something bad happened, like impacting the work or a safety thing maybe? I don't know. But have you got something?
Yeah. I've got one, but I think we might save that for a dedicated episode. So I'll drop a hint though on that. So when I first started on my career as a professional brewer, on my ninth day on the job as a professional brewer, I was involved in a major industrial accident where a 12 hectolitre bright beer tank exploded in front of me and a coworker, and there were no SOPs, and I was inexperienced. And that major accident happened as it was one of the contributing factors for that incident to occur and that sort of thing. That's the ultimate risk of not having SOPs at all. I think that's the worst case scenario, really, of not having SOPs. But from there, you can take a step back and go, well, I might have SOPs, but they might be poorly written and they might be being interpreted by the different people who are doing the job. And the beer is turning out different, despite the fact that you've got the standard operating procedures. So then you've got to say, right, well, is this SOP adequate? Does it need a rewrite? Yep. And that sort of thing. So this is the importance of standard operating procedures. Best case scenario, your beer is going to be inconsistent. Worst case scenario, people are going to get hurt.
Yeah. Right?
They're important, right? And it's something that every brewery needs to have. Right. And I highly encourage you as a professional brewer to start down that path sooner rather than later. Let's say the thing is, right, is let's say you're a brand new brewery, right? Let's say you just built a brewery, right, yourself. Okay. Now, I say to a lot of the members of the Rockstar Brewer Academy who've just built a brewery and have joined us, is that you're in for 12 months of troubleshooting shit that happens in your brewery. Right? 12 months. That's the time in those first 12 months. And you're not going to have standard operating procedures when you first commission your brewery and you open the doors and you're figuring stuff out and you're dialing equipment in. Right? It's just not going to happen. It's not possible. Don't put that expectation on you because you've got other things to worry about. But that time that you spend ironing out the bugs in your new system, the time that you spend dialing things in is the appropriate time to write the SOPs.
Yep.
That is the best time. The second best time is today.
Start.
Right? because the thing is that once you've ironed out any bugs and you've dialed in your system, right, keep it dialed in. And that means making sure that the way things are done gets fixed, right? And then have the ability to review those SOPs annually to make those either quality or safety or efficiency improvements that you want to make.
SOPs have to be usable, right? Like that's the whole point of the review. You can't be like super rigid on them and say, this is the only way, because they're allowed to be flexibility and go, we're just going to try this today and see what happens. Have you seen any breweries that have big mistakes around that though, or?
What sort of mistakes are you talking about, though?
Like if trying to implement SOPs where they just think, oh, it's enough, and they don't Like, there's no point writing them and then not letting the staff see them or use them or anything like that. Like, are there any sort of...
Oh, yes. So you're not going to... So the thing is a good SOP library is not a bunch of Word documents that are on some Google Drive sitting somewhere in the cloud that no one ever sees. That's pointless.
Yeah.
Right? You're wasting your time, because all that time that you spend writing those SOPs is useless if the SOPs, even if they were paper and they're chucked in the corner in a filing cabinet and never get read by anyone, it's pointless, right?
Yeah.
They have to be accessible. They have to be available on the floor, preferably on a device.
Yeah.
So that instantly accessible on a phone or on a tablet or something like that. Something everyone's got their phone on them on the brewery floor, right? And the SOPs have to be accessible on the floor, because sometimes as an operator in a brewery, you might be doing a job and you might get stuck and you go, oh shit, what do I do next?
Yeah.
Right. And if you got that there, because people forget, they're human, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like you got it. They have to be accessible. That's why things like Whale and Trainual and Dozuki, for instance, Dozuki is very expensive, but it certainly serves a purpose. But there's value in that, right?
Yeah.
And so Google Docs can do the job for a lot of breweries, provided you can get the Google Doc on someone's phone and they can access it. Great. But if you need more, if you've got a sizable team, then there's other options out there.
Yeah. If you're a brewer and this is your first time hearing SOPs and that you need them and whatnot, what are the steps that they need to take? What sort of advice do you say to them today? Say, right, here's your takeaway from this video.
Yep. Okay. Easily. First thing, break down your standard operating procedures that you need into those five areas. So admin, brew house, cellar, packaging, quality and lab. Right? Just make a list with five columns. And then just start writing a list of what are the different jobs that need to be done under those banners. Okay. That's an easy start. And you can do that and achieve that today if you really want to. Right? If you find that you're getting, once you've achieved that, it's a super, super easy thing to do. In fact, I might make that a download. So if you leave a comment or something like that, or drop me a line and that sort of thing, I'll send you a link so you can go and download that list. It's a super easy thing to do. Once you've got that, then it comes down to actually prioritizing the SOPs that you need. Prioritize safety, then prioritize quality as a secondary thing, and then efficiency third. And if you want to fast track the ways that writing those SOPs and getting them done and that sort of thing, and you want to use the SOP swipe library that we've got at the Rockstar Brew Academy, come and have a chat to me on a calibration call, rockstarbrewer.com/calibration. We're going to have a chat. We can see where you're at and what you need and what's going to give you the most bang for your buck in your brewery in the first instance. So that's probably the best way to go.
Fantastic.
Well, that's SOPs, man. Aren't they bloody brilliant, right? So don't take it as the big monolithic job. Get in there, make your list of SOPs before you start writing your SOPs and you'll get this thing done. And it's absolutely amazing. Awesome, mate. Cheers for the chat today. We'll see you in the next episode.
No worries, mate. Thank you.